What are the policy options? There are a number. A narrow policy option from the beginning was to follow the advice of really far-out radicals like the Pope and Vatican immediately said, look, it's a horrible terrorist crime. In the case of a crime, you try to find the perpetrators, you bring them to justice, you try them, you don't kill innocent civilians. Like if somebody robs my house and I think the guy who did it is probably in a neighborhood across the street, I don't go out with an assault rifle and kill everybody in that neighborhood. You know, that's not the way you deal with a crime, whether it's a small crime like this one or a really massive one like the U.S. terrorist war against Nicaragua and even worse ones and others in between. And there are plenty of precedents for that. In fact, I mentioned a precedent, Nicaragua, a law-abiding state, which is presumably why we had to destroy it, which followed the right principles. Now, of course, it didn't get anywhere because it was running up against a power that wouldn't allow lawful procedures to be followed. But if the United States tried to pursue them, nobody would stop it. In fact, everyone would applaud. And there are plenty of other precedents. When the IRA set off bombs in London, which was a pretty serious business, apart from the fact that it was unfeasible, let's put that aside, one possible response would have been to destroy Boston, which is the source of most of the financing, and of course to wipe out West Belfast. Well, you know, quite apart from feasibility, it would have been criminal idiocy. The way to deal with it was pretty much what they did. You know, find the perpetrators, bring them to trial, and look for the reasons. Because these things don't come out of nowhere, you know, they come out of something. And whether it's a crime in the streets or a monstrous terrorist crime or anything else, there's reasons. And usually if you look at the reasons, some of them are legitimate and ought to be addressed independently of the crime. They ought to be addressed because they're legitimate. And that's the way you deal with it. There's many such examples. But there are problems with that. One problem is that the United States does not recognize the jurisdiction of international institutions, so it can't go to them. It has rejected the jurisdiction of the World Court. It's refused to ratify the International Criminal Court. It's powerful enough to set up a new court if it wants, so that wouldn't stop anything. But there's a problem with any kind of a court, namely you need evidence. You go to any kind of court, you're going to need some kind of evidence, not Tony Blair talking on television. And that's very hard. It may be impossible to find. You know, it could be that the people who did it killed themselves. Nobody knows this better than the CIA. These are decentralized, non-hierarchic networks. They follow a principle that's called leaderless resistance. That's the principle that's been developed by the Christian right terrorists in the United States. It's called leaderless resistance. You have small groups that do things. They don't talk to anybody else. There's a kind of a general background of assumptions, and then you do it. Actually, people in the anti-war movement are very familiar with this. We just call it affinity groups. If you assume correctly that whatever your group you're in is being penetrated by the FBI, when something serious is happening, you don't do it in a meeting. You do it with some people you know and trust, an affinity group, and then it doesn't get penetrated. That's one of the reasons why the FBI has never been able to figure out what's going on in any of the popular movements. And other intelligence agencies are the same. They can't, you know. That's leaderless resistance, or affinity groups and decentralized networks are extremely hard to penetrate. And it's quite possible that they just don't know. When Osama bin Laden claims he wasn't involved, that's entirely possible. In fact, it's pretty hard to imagine how a guy in a cave in Afghanistan who doesn't even have a radio or a telephone could have planned a highly sophisticated operation like that. Chances are it's part of the background, you know, like other leaderless resistance terrorist groups, which means it's going to be extremely hard to find evidence.